Well, it is good to be here on Friday morning. And it is Friday morning. Can you believe that? And our last day here, and I trust that you'll make full use of it. And all the things that you've wanted to do, you have to do today. Amen. This is the day. So make sure you enjoy yourself and talk to who you wanted to talk to and you just haven't made the time yet. And all those kind of things. When we're in places like this, we always walk away saying, I wish we had talked to so-and-so, and we forgot to spend any time with them. Today is the day. Amen? Do that now. This is your opportunity. Now, the last several days, we've looked at some characters in the Old Testament and drawn some lessons from them. And today, I want to go back to the book of Daniel, if we could. Go back to the book of Daniel. We started in Daniel chapter 6 on Tuesday morning with Daniel in the lion's den. I want to go to chapter 3 today, Daniel chapter number 3. When you find that, would you stand with me while we read the Word of God? We'll begin reading in verse number 12, Daniel chapter 3, verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that everything that we need is right here in front of us in this wonderful book. God, I just pray that as today we look into it, you would again stir our hearts and stir our minds and help us to take it personally and use it in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in a tricky spot. Here they are, the image has been set up, you know the story, the music has played, everybody has bowed down except these three guys, and they stick out like a sore thumb. Everybody sees them, they're standing there in the middle of it all, and they're not bowing down, and I'm sure they felt a little self-conscious. I'm sure they thought, I hope nobody notices this. That's what I would have been thinking. I hope this doesn't make too big a deal. And yet all of a sudden, it's a big deal. And now they're hauled before the king, and the king says, all as a favor to Daniel, and you've been good workers, you've done a great job. But that's the rule. If you don't bow down, you go in the furnace. So here's what again. I'm just going to have them all play again, just for you. What you feel in your heart, I don't care what you think in your mind. I'm going to play that you fell down, and we'll all walk away happy today. That's the way in Abednego. He's just kind of caught in the midst of this situation, and everybody's, don't even be sincere, just fall down. And everything's fine. Because if we fall down, everybody's going to think we're that idol. Because I worship the true and living God. Very nice, but we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it. Ernest, look at verse number 15. And who is that God? Like, as well as I do, if I throw you in the furnace, you'll die. There's no God. And what he knows of God is his gods. That's what he thinks. His gods are dead idols, and he just assumes that there's no hope and your God can't deliver you, and if I throw you in there, you'll die. If it be so, our God whom we serve is a God. Our God is not like your gods. Our God is a out of thine hand, O king. And then you get to verse 18. A little unusual. Said, our God can deliver us from your hand, but if not, but he might not. But if just having a lapse in faith, I heard a faith preacher on the radio, in faith, and that's the way it will be. Now that sounds good, but that's how you want it to be, and then God will do it that way, and don't ever say anything different. You just say, great, nobody told Shadrach. Our God, and it's been said already this week, God does. You see, we know what God can do and what's capable what of great faith in an all-powerful God. The things that they had control of, they had decided, would not change. Well, if you've been saved for more than a month, you probably have, because they got one. And I've seen Mary give them not bad things. Listen, these are not bad things. Service where they can impact more people and want to reach more folks. And for some, they're asking for good things, that with all their hearts, for good reasons. Anything. There's nothing beyond the reach of God. But here's what I want you to do. But if you choose not to give it to me. Those three little words are not a lack of faith. They're an amazing team. We will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, going to worship the idol. Because my responsibility and my duty before God is do what I tell you to do. That's all. Don't make excuses and don't do so the way I want it done. That's an important question. Those requests, then all of a sudden we feel like we got the short end of the stick somehow. And a lot of times people, when their life is in a total disaster, that's when they finally consider God. Showing up for everything and, you know, they're getting in. And every service, God. That is the will of God. It is. Well, he just doubled down on prayer. She wanted the daughter. And she went to the judge, and she told the judge. It devastated him. Absolutely devastated him. And he didn't go anywhere else. He just dropped out altogether. Now, often it simply wasn't going to happen. He figured, well, and you can't assume that God has forsaken. It, but if you start to make deals with God and say, God, if you give me this and you get soul winning, and God, I read my Bible, now you have to do this. No, he doesn't. Did. Say, but God, we prayed. Even if I do everything right, doesn't mean that God will have to do what I want. Look at what it says there in verse 17. Our God whom we serve is not a doubt in our mind that our God can reach down and deliver us from the fiery furnace. We don't know if, but there's not a doubt in our mind that he can. You see, whether doesn't change the character of God one iota. God doesn't change. The character of God is still the same. He's still holy. In 1 Peter chapter 9, holy way back there, or I will be holy one day in the future. He said, be holy for change. With how he answers your prayer. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 4, it says he's a God of truth and without iniquity. He's a God of justice. You say, well, it's not fair. God is line up with what God says is just. But God is always just. Now, without our flesh here bogging us down, we'll have a much better idea. He's just, he's righteous. He's righteous. Psalm 145, 7, stand and the ways I don't understand. He's righteous in all the ways that are easy for me and the ways that make me very uncomfortable. That means he's always right. We said that last night. Loving. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. God has a lot of attributes. But you don't see God king them the way he takes love. God is justice. God is holiness. But your Bible does say, interesting, that's such a huge part of who God is. You can't take the two apart. You take the two apart and the love you have is two things together. God is love. You say, but hold it. God could have fixed this problem, solved this, and he didn't solve it. A lot of people feel that way. And there are little children suffering with problems. And how can you say he's a God of love? Your circumstance, the fact that he is love and loving never changes. Could have worked in your situation doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Of course we do. For God so loved the world, person and their actions and all the rest, God loved them so much that he sent his son. God for something and he doesn't give it to them. And suddenly, although they know that God liked them, well, I know he loved me, but I don't think he liked me very much. In the world, would you think that now that you're God's child, he loves you less than he did when you were lost and rebelled, changed even the slightest bit? He still loves you just as much. Don't we think he doesn't love me? He doesn't love me. Something to play with, you know? You've probably heard it, want to do, because that's what he'll make you do. I'll go to the jungles of New Guinea, because that's where he'll send you. Not a biblical one ever, but tremendous ones, amen? It's almost, find out what you don't want. And as soon as he does, he's all good, I found out. Thank you for sitting on the front row. Of course it is. First of all, do you think just because you didn't know that? As long as it doesn't slip out of your mouth, God will never. He already knows it. And by the way, God is not does. Heathen gods do that. That's what heathen gods do. He's not looking for a chance to make you miserable. Instead, if there he is. Now, if he just, that he hasn't even imagined yet. I know where he can do the best that he can do for me. And if he'll just trust me, I'll get him there. It's not because God did it. It's because we did it. Listen, God is to make you everything you could be that you don't even know you can be yet. If live there and raise their kids there and all, well, because that's where God wants them and they simply surrender. Because this is not where God wants them. Listen, he's trying to ruin your life. He's trying to make it better. But you just got to trust. If God remains the same, we know who our God is, and even if he doesn't deliver us, he said, but if not, the promises of God. Two very different statements. He said, our God can deliver us. We don't know if we'll be delivered from the furnace. You said, well, that's just their God. And they will be out of the hands of the king. And if God chooses, the promise is that when they're done in this life, they are with their God forever. It works in that circumstance. The promises of God are consistent. Analogy nowadays, because they're not seeing Jesus coming back rather than the promises of God. The promises of God are that he's coming back. I do know, however, the promise is just as solid as it was the day it was made. Working all things together for our good. By the way, if you read the next couple of verses, you find out that form you into the image of Christ. As a matter of fact, not only does that not mean you'll necessarily promise, yes it is. Most certainly is. Is it? You see, the promises of God remain the same regardless. But if not meant, even if God doesn't deliver, if he doesn't deliver them, or if he does deliver them, how to do with the purpose of God? Because it's not about shadow glorified by his creatures and his creation. That's his glorified by everything and in everything. And everything that we do before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. By God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you just mark it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fire and they are consumed. everybody will know God did it, God will be glorified. You think, God, the only way you'll be glorified here is if everybody sees the deliverance. Well, no, sometimes you could do. Sometimes we, I guess it was up and speak for the funeral. And so I did. I flew to Alaska that loves God and some of the lost relatives. And a young man came up and he said, Brother Rogers, he said, there we went. And he said, now I need to pick your brain. You would tell people. I mean, if you could only tell them one thing and convince them of it, what is the most important thing to know? I said, no, really? Yeah. It won't make a great bumper sticker. You can trust God. I don't trust God. They think there's a catch somewhere. I'll never have any fun again, and my life is over. And they think God trusts him for their salvation. But they're not going to trust him with on and on and on and on and on and on and on it goes. Oh, because we don't trust him. Because we're afraid that he's going to send us to 80% chance. He's not going to send you anywhere. He's going to sit you right in your town, in your church, with your family. You don't have to be afraid. Well, I'm not going to surrender because I don't want to be a preacher and I don't want to be an evangelist and I don't want to be a missionary. He wants you to be the best church member you can be. Serving to be over there, which is just being surrendered to God wherever you are. Is if you stay in your church and serve God, and God wants you halfway, everybody will be impressed with you. You will be a failure halfway around the world, and you'll do damage to the culture. To the where. You just make sure the what is right. You can trust him. And too many saved people don't trust him. Because I want to do this and this and this and this. And I'm afraid that if I put those in the hands of God, he might take those away. I'm not going to tell you what God would have you to do. I don't know. But I know that wherever you are and whatever it is, he wants you surrendered to him. You can trust him. He will not ruin your life. He won't. He will make it far better than all of your plans ever would have made it. And then when you get down to the end of it, you won't have to regret not doing what God wanted you to do. Amen? Too many folks get down to the end and say, I should have. I wish I did. I remember when God spoke to my heart and I should have. Don't be that person. Be the one who gets down to the end and says, I did. I was right where God wanted me doing, right what God wanted me to do, whether that's a plumber or a deacon or the pastor. Just be right where God wants you to be, doing right what God wants you to do, surrendered to him. You know, sometimes God doesn't give you what you ask for. Sometimes. It's always exciting when he does. Always makes for a great testimony. But I think sometimes when we get to heaven, we're going to find out the better testimony was, God didn't give me that. And he spared me. And instead he gave me this. And look what I got now. Amen. Rewards in heaven. But if not, yes, our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're going to serve him anyway. We're just going to serve him anyway. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father.